Good morning, Rock everybody.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee with Marie at the Carlton. We are here at the beautiful Carlton Hotel in Atascadero, California. And we do some networking here from 9:30 to 10, and then at 10 o'clock we go live. So we are live on the internet radio right now. Everybody say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So obviously this is a new year, and January 3rd, here we are this Wednesday. And we have 2018, and I'm really, really excited. I personally like even numbers, and 2017 was an odd number, and it was just kind of, couldn't wait to get through that. But let me tell you a little bit about what we do here with Coffee with Marie. It's a live internet. You can call in and actually ask questions of our guests. And the number that you can call in at is 323-580-5755. You can catch us on Facebook, the Marie Roth Resource Consultant page, as well as Coffee with Marie Facebook group. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. There's all kinds of ways that you can connect. So what we do here is we dare to take a 45-minute trip every Wednesday with our coffee securely in hand, although I don't have mine today, and we spotlight how we do business here on the Central Coast of California, which is a very interesting little slice of paradise for those of you who know of our area. We're also offering some sponsor and business spotlight advertising, so you can check that out. I have the information up on Eventbrite, and you're welcome to call me at 805-391-4790 for more information. So here we are, beautiful Atascadero, California, and we talk business California style, which usually is with coffee in hand, and actually none of us have coffee. I think it's so new in the new year that we're still trying to catch up. Is that, can I, yeah, I'm still catching up with myself as well. So I have some very special guests with me this morning, and Jamie Barlett and Ross Sprague are from PolyPay.
Yes.
In San Luis Obispo, and why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do there at PolyPay?
Sure, absolutely. Well, good morning, everyone. I founded PolyPay about 4 years ago. It's a merchant processing business that handles card services, online payments, in-person, or as we say, brick-and-mortar payments for all sorts of businesses and industries, both here. Luckily, we're located in the Central Coast, but we handle customers both here and throughout the United States as well, all sorts of industries and whatnot. And then I've got Ross Sprague with me here, too, who's our head of sales, who joined us almost a year ago. So happy to be here. Thank
you.
Excellent,
and Happy New Year. So with your business, what is the service that that helps businesses, you know, how does it help businesses doing business every day? I need to catch up with my brain here.
I think the biggest thing is that people are so busy, and I think Ross would agree, talking with a lot of smaller businesses, that there's so much they have to be on top of. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that this is one of the evil things they don't want to have to deal with, which is...
But they have to,
because everyone needs their money. Capitalism is good, so you want to get your money for your services or for whatever you're offering. And I think Ross runs into that issue, too, with customers. They don't really want to talk about it, but they know they need it, and they don't know if they're being taken care of in the correct manner.
And the bottom line is to make purchases easier for clients, and that's what you do.
I love Ross.
Yes, and in the way the payments industry is going, a lot more card usage, debit cards, cash is becoming less common. And like you said, merchant processing, when I talk to people and when I go and introduce myself, they kind of look at me and kind of shrug and look at us as a necessary evil to their business. But we're such an important part of their business because some merchants will have 95% of their payments be on cards, and every month they get a merchant processing statement. And I'm in the industry and know what I'm doing, and sometimes I come across statements where I even am a little befuddled, where I have to say, what the heck kind of pricing are these?
So this is another complicated thing that a business owner has to also figure out, because it's a necessary evil to help their sales increase and to be competitive online
and
all
hard.
That.
I think Ross runs into it more than I do, but it's hard for a customer, for a business owner to be told that something's wrong. They already have enough things that they're worrying about, but to be told that they are, essentially being ripped off, and that they clearly can't see, they can't read this hieroglyphic type of statement where things are being hidden. That's where they get a little miffed about, because they feel they're so good about doing other things in their business that they're a little insulted.
And
they're a little embarrassed.
And then are they actually willing to take a loss on that just to not deal with it? Like, they know that they're paying more than they should.
Some have. A lot of the times when you come across those situations, though, where they're saying, this statement is so complicated for me to read, I don't know what's going on. And that's when I'll say, well, let's go through it together real quick. And there's a big processor in the country, and they're notorious for fees here and there, and one specifically, I'll say, this line item says interchange surcharge fee. What does that mean? It was $225 this month.
Oh, see, now that would be enough to get my attention.
I'll just look at them, and they'll just kind of look at me, and it'll kind of be like, who's going to break the silence? And I'll say, that's just a fancy way of them adding a fee to make money on you. And they'll be like, seriously? And like, I had a lady the other day, and she's like, well, why would they do that to me? And I was like, because they can.
Yeah.
And so we're taking something that is, like we said, a necessary evil, make it much less painful for our merchants to a point where they actually enjoy now seeing every month, their rates have dropped to so-and-so.
And Ross shares them with them. I think information alleviates that issue. So every month, once they are customers, we let them know exactly what they're saving versus previously.
So why aren't you greedy like the other businesses or the other companies?
I think, like I said before, let me not back up on, obviously capitalism is good, and you have to do good, right, to do well, right, Marie?
Yes.
And giving away and giving back to the community. But, I mean, there is a healthy way to balance a revenue share and to do good at the same time. I don't know how some of these businesses sleep at night that are national. We run into customers routinely that will literally, we will have saved them over $20,000 a year.
A year?
Not a big business.
Oh, my gosh.
And they are just, those are some businesses that they go, I don't believe you. They just can't believe us. And we go, we have to walk through and explain that to them. So I would rather, as Ross lives on, like, obviously, our pillar of transparency and communication and education. And as Ross says to all the customers we close, he goes, all I want you to do, please, is tell another person about this business. And, if there's an issue, we'll take care of it. We don't do contracts, anything like that. We live day to day with our customers on hopefully the goodwill they get from us.
And you do. I have, when we try to make appointments, you're like, nope, I got to get on a plane and go visit a customer. And you literally are going to another state and face-to-face, knee-to-knee with your client.
Yes.
Now, what would you say on average, how much time do you spend with one of your clients onboarding them?
The onboarding process, and kind of go back to your question on why we don't do that, it's not as complicated as a lot of merchants think it is. It's not the easiest of processes getting them over. We do all the hand-holding, heavy lifting that we can. And kind of our business model, which we like long-term and why we don't rip people off like the other guys do, is once you get them on, you do all that work to get them on. The last thing you want to do is to nickel and dime them. So some guy like me knocking on doors can say, hey, this is how, PolyPay's ripping you off.
You don't want to be that person.
I work hard enough just to get them on. I want to keep them on, and I would rather us grow our business by them being happy and referring us to more business than I'd rather grow our business that way than just by adding to our existing group of merchants.
Right, right. Well, and I appreciate that because that is doing business California style, where we like to know the person that we're doing business
and
with.
And especially
for sure.
If we're talking about the Central Coast very specifically too, is this is definitely an area I think where you would agree is if you do a good job or a bad job, they will know.
Everybody
will
know
about
it.
Like wildfire. So I, having lived both in LA and San Francisco, I could have put this business somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of hide and kind of do, yes, it probably been harder to get customers out of a, not a small town, but the presence that you're here locally, people can come see you. You can't hide behind some sort of office somewhere because someone knows you who knows Ross, who knows me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you make a big mistake, you're going to hear about it. So that has made us, the proximity to a majority of our customers has made us work even harder.
A little bit of competition and not competition, healthy competition,
yes.
you know, and customer service.
Yes.
That I think is the big thing, of course, that people are looking
for. And so to go back and answer your question about like the onboarding process and how much time it takes, and I was saying, it's not the easiest of sales, but it's not as bad as a lot of merchants think. It can literally take about 2 to 3, 15 to 20 minute meetings. Once you go over their current statement, me to kind of analyze and walk them through that.
Mm-hmm.
Another 15 to 20 for me to go through proposals, exactly how we're going to set them up with their discount rate, authorization fees, whatever it may be. And then another 15 or 20 minutes to go through the application process. I mean, I fill out as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's things like tax ID and signatures that are needed that I can't do. But it literally could be done in about 3 15 to 20 minute meetings. So for I tell people, hey, if you give me an hour over a course of a week or two, you know, I'll be able to save you money every month on your process.
Well, yeah, it sounds like upwards of $20,000
yeah,
would be,
yeah,
that
I
would
mean,
open up my eyes.
Literally, we've had people just change to us as well. Even if the pricing is the same, they want somebody local, and then
mm-hmm.
they just want better customer service. So, I mean, we've had customers that are like, we can't even match that. But they're like, look, we want to deal with somebody local.
We
want to be with someone that we can actually reach and talk to.
Yeah, and just us being local, I had a friend in town a couple weeks ago and just walking downtown slow, and everybody, yeah, that's why I say I got to show my face around here. So I
don't want
to be like, oh, there's Ross, the guy. And people are coming up, shaking my hand, and my friend said, why are you like the mayor of the town?
No, I'm just the merchant
processor.
Yeah,
well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, what a nice feeling. So, you hometown and you get local appreciation,
mm-hmm.
and that's nice to feel that, and then it encourages you to continue to do what you're doing.
And that's better fuel than anything for revenue versus all of that. Putting that all together, good job,
mm-hmm.
revenue, happy customers.
That's
a lovely mix. Yeah.
So, what would you say is the most difficult part of what it is that you guys do?
I would say right now, once we get people on, we keep them happy. We do a great job of that. Ryan Hakes, he's our director of customer success. He does all the customer support. I mean, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the most difficult part about our job is during the sales process of it is there's so many different point of sale systems out there.
Okay.
Is just being able to integrate, figure out integration. And
it's
go and talk to a boutique owner and say,
mm-hmm.
hey, I need to talk to you about integrating with your point of sale. And she's like, is that the thing on my tablet? And it's like, I don't even know who to call. And so there's just so many different point of sales out there anymore. Integration's
I wouldn't say necessarily it's even really, it's definitely
it's
difficult.
A challenge.
It's not a downside. It's funny, the processing partner we have that helps us on the back end with the actual transactions, we actually have a more in-depth integration list than they do for their company nationally.
Thanks to Ryan.
Thanks to
Ryan. Right. I was going to say,
when you're a small job, that takes up a lot of time, too, for us as well, is doing the research, finding out if we can actually do integrating with it. So a lot of people are in industries that are very specific, like pest control or some healthcare service. They, you know, we could see they're being ripped off terribly, but unfortunately, they have to use that system because it has caveats, like scheduling for dental customers or certain payment plans for people who have, you know, healthcare prepaid plans. They have to use that kind of service, and they kind of are afraid to step away from that or at least separate the processes from it.
Well, and that would be something as a business owner, I would be afraid that, okay, during this transition, I'm going to have to learn how to maybe speak a new language.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for that as a business owner. But aside from that, okay, so I'm going to segue into the question of the hour. We'll leave the cannabis for later.
Okay.
But what about Bitcoin? How does that affect you guys? Yet? No?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I have my own personal thoughts on Bitcoin, but from customers, to answer that question, we haven't any customers ask us about it yet. And it's funny, the reaction we've had in conversations just with owners, it's either one or the other. There's nobody that's in between, and it's kind of that currency I just read. They call it kind of that fear of missing out currency. So there's definitely a hype to it, but I think it's just it's a value people can't tangibly put a number on.
Right.
No, I mean, and frankly, most of our customers don't even use like the Tap Pay or the Google Wallet, Apple Pay.
Oh.
Most of our customers, even nationally, they do not use that. And I have read that that growth of that part of payment business is much slower than they thought it would be. So to answer your question, no.
Well,
no one's
gotten
that fancy yet. No.
Well, maybe that'll be something we'll talk about in 2019.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, even with like Apple Pay and things like that, we'll tell our merchants like, hey, these terminals we're setting you up
right.
can accept Apple Pay and all that kind of stuff, and they just don't really seem to.
Yeah, we sell the capability. Sorry.
Yeah.
Using the terminals are capable, but we've just literally had no one ask us how to get trained on that. You know, how do they track a transaction like that? No.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So now Polypay is one aspect of what you guys do, and then you have another aspect.
Yeah, well, we have two other aspects, actually, but on the processing side, another world.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah,
because
sure.
It is, we're in 2018,
that
and we've gone legal with cannabis.
I started what I call Matrix Card Services almost a year ago, about 8 months ago, and that was processing for cannabis businesses. I was in Denver visiting, as we call kind of more traditional customers, I'm calling them, and someone sent me to a bank that was interested in processing cards or some sort of payment for their cannabis clients. And this bank had about 60% of their customers were in the cannabis industry, and they did not have a solution.
Right.
They were afraid of the cash. They wanted to figure out something more traditional. So after a lot of research and a few months of talking with people and getting to connect with YouTuber and kind of trying to find people.
We were trying.
Yeah, always trying. But having those conversations with a lot of people in the industry, doing a ton of research. There's a lot of charlatans in this. There's a lot of charlatans in the processing industry in general. But when you come to something that is as nebulous right now as the cannabis industry for processing, Ross and I kissed a lot of frogs before we found a real kind of prince or a partner in that. So we found a good solid partner, and we do offer processing. But there's caveats to it still.
For sure. And we'll be dealing with those for a while.
For sure.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. And is there anything that you would tell our listeners how they can reach you?
Sure, absolutely. So we have we are located down off of Sacramento Drive in San Luis Obispo. So we're actually right by KBEC and Goodwill. So we have a website, polypay.com, polypay.com, and Matrix Card Services, which actually has an office within the same space. So that's Matrix Card Services, MatrixCardServices.
.com.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
And since you're the mayor, I don't know if you want to put your phone number or your email out there, Ross.
How do people reach you?
If anybody's ever interested in taking a look at their current processing situation or knows of somebody, hey, my friend owns my cousin owns a business. Anywhere a card's accepted, where it's in person, online, anything like that. So they can email me. It's rsprague. That's Sprague is SPRAGUE at polypay.com. And my cell phone is area code 559-994-1219.
Excellent. Wonderful. And it will only be about a 15-minute appointment for the first time.
Yep.
So people can fit that into their busy schedule.
Yep, even that. Or if you've got statements, it'll be probably even faster than that. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how much information the customer can give us to take a look at. And and we'll give you the more info, the more better picture we can give you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for spending the
third day of the new year here with
Happy
us.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. So we have some other folks that are in the audience. audience that might want to come up and introduce themselves. I see Charles is here. How are you this morning, Charles? Good morning. And we have Susan is here also visiting us, and so is Ted Jacobson. And I think I know somebody who might also want to have some time on the air. We've got Sean Donahoe here with us today. Sean, why don't you come on up and help us help answer some of these questions? Well, we've got, I'm sure there's a lot of folks that have questions for the cannabis industry. And so, again, you can call in at 323-580-5755. So, Sean Donahoe is pretty much one of those movers and shakers in the cannabis industry. And, well, not the cannabis industry so much, but the movement that has been happening here in the state of California, where we have finally gotten to this point where cannabis is legal for adult use as well as medicinal. And I'd say the rollout has been a little bumpy.
Sure.
just to say the least, right? And it's complicated, I know.
It's very complicated. I mean, we now, over 21 years ago, passed medical marijuana with Proposition 215. And so medical marijuana is now old enough to buy a beer. So that's weird.
That is kind of weird. It should be mature by now, don't you think?
But one of the things that was actually baked in, so to speak, into Prop 215 was for the legislature to pass a regulatory framework so that they would actually have real licenses for the businesses, just like any other large
industry.
And let's remember that this is our number one cash crop here in the sixth largest economy in the world. So we didn't have licenses until 2 days ago.
Now let's get back to a common misconception, because hopefully there are people that are business owners that are listening as well. The state of California, I think that some businesses might believe that having a collective as a nonprofit mutual benefit is the license that the state had kind of sort of given them during that Prop 215.
It really did.
Okay.
You know, there was Proposition 215, and there was SB Senate Bill 420, and there was the 2008 Attorney General Guidelines. And all those things together kind of told you kind of the best way to operate, but we're not going to say you're legal, but if you go into court, you can claim a defense of medical marijuana and the necessity to provide relief to patients and the necessity to have some sort of collective mechanism to cultivate, produce, and distribute this medicine. That's all we had for 21 years. But starting 2 days ago, starting January 1, California now issued licenses for both medicinal and adult-use cannabis businesses, either manufacturers, cultivators, or retailers. Those are sort of the big three license categories with respectively the Department of Public Health, the Department of Food and Agriculture, and the Department of Consumer Affairs, all having separate licensing authorities that allowed for some sort of real structure to be done, and of course, new taxes.
And boy, that sounds like a three-ring circus, doesn't it?
Sure.
And I'm not being, you know, I'm not being negative about it, but it just, it has been quite a ride. And I think the worst thing for me is that it leaves the businesses very confused as to really how they're supposed to be operating legally. So let's bring it home here to San Luis Obispo County.
Sure.
Specifically, what do you see the challenges here in San Luis Obispo County in the fact that we really don't have access right now to legal products?
We got one.
And now, are we talking about Elite Care?
We got Cynthia and her great partners at Elite Care, which is the only licensed retailer in the county of San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm.
So they received what's called a non-storefront retail license. Other people call it a delivery service.
Well, and to be clear, they're actually operating in the city of Arroyo Grande. So they received their jurisdictional approval through the police department in the city of Arroyo Grande, which enabled them to actually apply for the state license.
Sure. And in addition to being approved by the police department, a lot of this comes back to land use planning,
mm-hmm.
because the state requires all of these licenses to be linked to a specific premise. So a premise triggers a land use permit,
mm-hmm.
just like a minor use permit or a conditional use permit. So moving forward, whether it's the city or whether it's the county, a lot of the actual implementation at the local level is going to be done by the planning department that are figuring out suitability of different business categories for different zones for different neighborhoods.
Right. And that is a task that our county and our cities are still taking up. As a matter of fact, I know that on the 9th, well, I don't know this for sure because I haven't seen the agenda, but we're assuming that for our county board of supervisors, it'll be back on the agenda. And then Pastor Robles is also going to be bringing it back onto their agenda sooner than later. So, but that still doesn't solve our immediate problem for consumers that want to access these products. So last calculation, first we'll talk about how many dispensaries are actually legal and opened in your last count here in the state of California?
I think it was over 180 last time I checked.
I think I had 177 last time. Yeah. And then the closest one near where we are located, from my calculations, is in Monterey.
Sure. You can go to either Delray Oaks or Goleta. And so those would be the closest.
Okay. And is there one also in Ventura?
No. Well, actually, yes. Port Hueneme is, I don't think they're open yet.
It might have been the Goleta one.
But they're licensed. Yeah.
Okay. So that brings me to a field trip that you guys are all welcome to take with us on January 22nd. They're having another licensing workshop in Monterey. And so we thought that would be a perfect opportunity to get on a bus and travel up there. Those folks that are still seeking information on how to become state licensed, I'm hoping that we would have a few of our elected officials, if not their administration, joining us so they can get that information straight from the horse's mouth. But then we're also going to visit the Monterey Bay Alternative Medicine, their dispensary that's open there. It looks very nice, and I think it would be kind of fun for folks to kind of get an example.
And they're cash only, I believe, so maybe they could use a credit card processor.
I'm just saying. There you go. You guys can join us. That would be great. I always like to get people together so that they can network and that they can, you know, find the commonalities or the services that they need to do better business. So this would be an opportunity to do that. So you guys can check that out on Eventbrite. It is the bus trip to Monterey. And you can sign up. I think it's $79 to get on the bus and should be a good time. I mean, yeah, right? Of course
so,
it would be.
I think the Monterey County, which is a separate jurisdiction, Monterey Bay Alternative Health, is that?
Med.
They're licensed by the city of Delray Oaks.
Right.
This teeny tiny city. But Monterey County is going to be catching up. And I think that they, I saw a state license come in for higher level of care, which is in Castroville. And then there's also Big Sur Canna Botanicals, which is in Carmel Rancho Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a couple other options.
Nice. Excellent. You can go ahead and answer your phone if you need to. The Karen Mankins, who is an RN, who had operated an assisted living facility up in the Monterey area, and she's come down and been a speaker at a few of our events. And her clientele is all 70 years and older, and she is so busy that you know she can't hardly keep up with herself. So I find it interesting that, and these are folks that are looking for topicals, not necessarily you know things to ingest or a tincture. Her first patient that she had up there at one of the facilities in Monterey, the daughter had requested that they administer a couple of drops of a tincture to her mother every day. And, you know, her story, you know, tells us that the results were remarkable. It doesn't end very well, the story, but it was enough to motivate Karen to make a major change in her career and start representing, you know, the geriatric group who wants to use alternative medicine. So, all right. So what do you see on the near horizon for San Luis Obispo County? Any, how do we know what's going on in Grover Beach, Monarch?
Yeah, I think Grover Beach should be opening up two licensed retailers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Morro Bay, for some reason, is waiting for 6 or 7 months before even accepting applications.
Well, they still haven't changed their mind on that.
I know, they should change their mind. I went to City of San Luis Obispo's Planning Commission that discussed this item a couple weeks ago, And who knows what's happening next? I know that Paso Robles had their task force earlier last year.
Yeah, I was all the way last year. And I did hear Mayor Steve Martin discuss on KPRL the other day that they're, I think, going on next Tuesday's agenda or the following Tuesday.
Busy day next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we have a newly passed ordinance, which is not being referendumed. Which
let's just clear that up. Thank you.
Yeah.
that was an exciting time.
We gathered a sufficient amount of signatures to oppose the implementation of the county's ordinance because we thought that there was deficiencies in it that would prevent us from getting our state licenses. And that's most importantly what is agendized for the Board of Supervisors to discuss next Tuesday.
Yes, so we were glad to get that back on the agenda. And because, you know, it just comes down to demand. You know, if there is demand, which there is here in San Luis Obispo County, and there is no supply or legal way to get it, then what does that do? It keeps our black market going really strongly in it, and there's no incentive for people to.
I think what's more importantly is looking at what we voted for over a year ago and what's been put in a place in over 29 other states and 29 other countries with Canada, the first G8 company going country going legal later this year, and Mexico moving for medical marijuana as well. What you're seeing is the bricks falling very quickly. The drug war has fallen apart. People just simply realize that regulation is a superior alternative to prohibition.
Right, for sure. And I know these businesses really want to be regulated. Where do you see us in a year from now? Where do you see the state in a year from now?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of friends of mine from Colorado and Washington, and they say, strap in, it's going to be a bumpy ride. There's going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of shakeups. But a year from now, you'll be happy you went through it all.
Mm-hmm. And then one other concern that I had regarding law enforcement versus code enforcement, and we can start here locally. Through all of this, I would really hate to see people compromise their future approval, you know, their future ability to be able to do business. Is there anything, you know, operating currently right now without license, how might that jeopardize future businesses? Do we see that as a problem?
You should move towards a pathway of compliance and licensure as quickly as humanly or as legally possible or as politically possible in the case of local governments, you know, not creating a framework that totally jives with the state.
And that's a lot easier said than done.
For sure. I think that the delivery services in San Luis Obispo County, other than Elite Care, don't necessarily understand that they need to have a conditional use permit, and that could take 6 or 8 months before they operate because they're at the point of transaction. So that is unambiguously a commercial cannabis activity. And so that should be concerning to everybody.
Yeah, and I do see a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to that. So first thing, go apply for a business license, and that'll tell you. That'll kind of give
they
you
might
a
not
point.
Let you.
Yeah, you'll know if you can do business at that point. Excellent. So now we're going to kind of switch over because you are somewhat got your fingers in the political stuff up there in Sacramento. I have a list here of new laws for 2018 that are going to be implemented here for this year. And I was curious to know if anything is kind of pointing out to you specifically. Let's see, I wouldn't want to read through. I was supposed to highlight some of these. Just some of the big. Do you have any, Jamie, legislation that's affecting that you guys see affecting business owners?
Nothing yet, no.
Okay, I noticed there was a few things here. That's not exciting. Let's look.
I think this is going to be a big year to look at taxes and taxation. Obviously, we have new cannabis taxes, a 15% excise tax at retail, as well as a harvest tax, but that's not the only tax that we're talking about. Last year, the legislature passed a transportation omnibus bill that would finance new road improvements and new bicycle and other sort of public transport.
Is that what they're calling the gas tax?
Yep. And so I believe
a lot about that.
Signatures have been gathered. Speaking of referendum, at the state level, they did that. They did that before with the plastic bag ban a couple of years ago, where large interest-funded signature gatherers, that happened again. And ultimately, you asked the voters whether they want to have their community preferences a couple of years ago, whether we want to have plastic bags still around.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I suppose what's going to be asked of voters in November is whether or not the gas tax, quote-unquote gas tax, is a good idea or a bad idea to fund new transportation upgrades. So that's one new tax. And then at the federal level, we have a huge omnibus tax bill that the Congress passed. And from what I'm understanding, today, which is the first day of the legislature, Kevin DeLeon, who's the head of the California State Senate, is talking about putting in new tax strategies that would address the inability of California taxpayers to not be able to deduct their state income taxes mm-hmm. against their federal taxes. It may go so far as to create the pathway for charitable contributions to the state of California that would then be tax deductible against your federal tax liability. So California,
can you say that one more time?
California is being set up effectively into a
501c3. As a charity?
As a charity.
Oh, heaven.
That's one of the
options. I had no
idea.
I didn't
see
that coming. No, it makes sense.
That would be then this sort of dodging and weaving of the state implications of the federal tax bill. So I think we're going to hear a lot about taxes in 2018, whether it's cannabis taxes, federal taxes, gas taxes, or charitable taxes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate taxes.
And then I think the other huge thing, obviously, in 2018 is the legislature is locked into the second year of their legislative cycle. There's a lot of stay-behind legislation that didn't move in mm-hmm. the first year of legislative action. So there's a lot of some cleanup legislation, things that didn't move, things that needed more sorting out. I know that Speaker of the State Assembly, Anthony Rendon, took Senate Bill 562, which would be universal health care. That would effectively use Medicare for all, a single-payer system akin to most other industrialized countries. That got turned into a two-year bill, so that will then be discussed later this year. But to be honest, it's an election year.
Right.
So the legislature isn't going to touch too many hot potatoes or too many controversial subjects because they're all locked in, at least on the assembly side, for re-election in November. And remember, for the most part, legislators, it's very hard to get tossed out if you're an incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these
right,
guys and gals are going to be reelected. The thing that's really looming over everybody's interest is gubernatorial
race. I
was going to
say, oh my gosh, that's going to be exciting. So, yeah, give us a few predictions about that and what should we be watching out for.
Well, obviously, this is Jerry Brown's last swan song as well.
I thought you were going to say swamp. Swamp dance.
Swamp dance. Probably. I can't picture him dancing. No. But
okay.
So Jerry Brown departing California's
wow.
Elected office is going to be a huge, huge deal. But we've got a whole cast of honestly younger talent
mm-hmm.
queued up to run for both the gubernatorial race, and then we also have an attorney general race. We have a lieutenant governor race. We have exciting candidates for treasurer and controller, for that matter. And so you're seeing all of those statewide races. And then we also are looking at a contested Democratic challenger for the sitting Democratic incumbent, Dianne Feinstein. Kevin DeLeon, who I mentioned before,
right.
from the state Senate president, he disagrees with Dianne Feinstein on a lot of issues, particularly as it pertains to President Trump. So we're going to see a contested Democratic race for the U.S. Senate. And so you're going to see a lot of
commercials.
A lot of commercials, of course. That's big day. But right now, the latest polling is showing that Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, is got a sizable lead over former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. And then the next category of candidates are Republican John Cox,
mm-hmm.
who's in third place, and then tied for fourth is current State Treasurer John Chung, and former Superintendent of Public Instruction, Delaney Easton. But there's, you know, obviously way over a third of the folks that are being pulled that are undecided.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we're all waiting for the commercials, I think.
Hopefully not. Yeah, that's a horrible way to decide.
No. It really is. And that will bring me to, you know, some of the content. I mean, politics aside, but when it comes to voting and filling out that ballot, I have anxiety, especially now when it seems that whatever it is it's telling me that this measure is for, I'm like, all right, well, what's under that? What else is it for? And how is my vote going to impact California and the people of California? Where would you say is the best place to go and find the most truthful information?
Sure. I mean, League of Women Voters runs smartvoter.org. That's a really good sort of crowdsource type place. Even more crowdsourced, though, Ballotpedia, which is very similar. It feels like Wikipedia. And so those are the two sort of places that I think that you could find all manner of both current and historical election material.
Right. Well, I'm telling you folks out there and everybody sitting here, we've got to do that part of it. And we'll bring some more of the interesting legislation here to this show, so that we can get history and find out what the best choices are for our state. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for being here. I appreciate all your hard work that you do. And Sean is no stranger, he's not afraid of sticking his neck out and doing what it takes, you know, in what it is that you believe needs to be done. So definitely appreciate
you
that.
You too, ditto.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So we are nearing the end of our show. We have a couple minutes left. Charles, would you like to come and say hi to everybody today? Or are you going to be quiet today?
Just
say hello and wish us all a happy new year. Excellent. Well, I wish you all a very, very happy new year as well. And I'm going to close out by just telling you guys a few events that are going to be happening here. As a matter of fact, this next week at the Carlton is what they are calling the Wine Speak Paso Robles. And that is a premier industry summit that will bring sommeliers, wine industry leaders, and hospitality professionals together here at the Carlton Hotel for a three-day educational journey. I think that the tickets are actually sold out for all of the there's two seminars that are happening on Sunday, and I believe that there are I got the wrong day, but you need to go online to Wine Speak Paso Robles. I believe there's still tickets for the wine tastings, the grand tasting, and there's a special vineyard excursion. So get that information quickly before the tickets are all sold out. And the next thing that we want to tell you guys about is the Tamale Festival. That happens every January here in Atascadero. This is the third year that they're having it. It's January 20th, and that is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's in the Sunken Gardens of Atascadero. So a little bit of history on this particular event that they're having here. I was a little bit of a part of it when it was organized, threw the date out and said that it was going to be out in the Sunken Gardens. Well, it turned out that it rained and they had to have it at the pavilion. They're estimated about 7,000 people showed up, and we normally get maybe 300 people to one of our events. So this is an extremely popular event. Terry Vanish has actually gone outside of the area. Oh, where did she say she went? Down to somewhere way, way, way down south where they have a tamale festival, and they are really, really into it. So she's even gotten a few of those clubs to come up here and compete and participate. So I think she said something about 30,000 tamales will be served on January 20th, all different shapes and sizes and flavors. So we would love to see you guys there. And there's also entertainment. The Mariachi Mexicanismo Band, Manuel Santos, and the Dancing Horses will also be here. So thank you guys again for joining us with Coffee with Marie at the Carlton. And you can check us out, Blog Talk Radio, Link Local Network. And we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.